Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is LaVon Brillon, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of USWAT Radio program, and I want to welcome you to our broadcast tonight. If you so happen to be listening by phone, by the internet rather, and you need to get off for some reason, you can call in and listen by phone by dialing 646-595-4877. I was impressed with the Lord to deal with some new areas of ministry that I think are quite pivotal to our success as believers. And in doing so, the focus is strengthened. Of course, you know I went on a sabbatical this summer, as I do every summer, to hear from the Lord as to the direction that the ministry is going. And I'm pleased to let you know that I have heard from the Lord, and the Lord had begun to instruct me on some things that I've put into implementation in this organization as a whole. You need to know that this particular broadcast is a reflection of a ministry that is in full operation and full effect. We have ministry operations partners all over the United States that are in covenant with me to share the uncompromising word of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. It is essential that you have a specific notebook for this particular broadcast is through the coming years. We have eliminated Sunday nights in order to better accommodate our staff and to also better accommodate you, the listener, with a more systematic flow and a more continuative broadcast that will help you gather as much information in the time allotted. We found that we were only given about 6 hours of study, 4 hours of study in a 3-day period. We condensed that to 2-hour programs on Tuesdays and Thursdays, eliminating Sundays, so that way you're not overburdened with the words that you've most likely delivered on Sunday after a long day from Sundays, but you can actually clear your mind, set your time to devote to your family in the evening, prep for the next week, and then be ready to join us on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 12 p.m. Now, if you cannot make those times, all of the programs are downloadable. I will encourage you from this point on to download as soon as you possibly can the broadcasts of that week, because we have a new system in place where they won't be as available as they were before, but the information is going to be pertinent to your future growth in ministry. Heard from the Lord on some particular areas, and one of the areas that I'm going to be emphasizing on in the next coming weeks is the foundational teachings of Christianity. Christianity is the basis by which we all convene as ministers of the gospel, and if the source is not similar, then our unity is in vain. And so I have to, in order to ensure that unity can exist amongst fellowships, among ministers of various ministries and types, that there are certain bases that we agree on, and those agreements should be predicated on the Word of God. You need someone to teach you, not teach you how to learn the Bible, but to introduce you to the priority of the Bible in an environment that is nucleus or clear of clutter, of religious clutter and traditional clutters. And this particular broadcast is set for that, irregardless of what denomination you are. There are two things that you can benefit. You may not agree with some of the doctrinal issues that I emphasize. However, it will give you an opportunity to understand what exactly is out there, because I'm going to present as a biblical platform where the doctrinal statements that I come up with are going to derive directly from Scripture. And then you can take it and compare it to your doctrine to see if it complies with the Scriptures. And the only thing that you should get upset is with the Scriptures, whether they're being properly interpreted through this dialogue. And I believe this dialogue will help you to decipher whether or not the Scriptures are rightly being divided. Because if it can be rightly divided, the implication is that it can be wrongly divided. And it's important that we learn how to communicate things pertaining to the faith. And with that being said, we entered into a study called The Secrets of Sanctification. I want to revisit that and kind of give the revised version of sanctification. You will hear that on the caption of this particular teaching, the revised version of the revised version of Secrets of Sanctification. And I think it's important that we study sanctification for ministers because we need to understand that there's more to this concept than just the religious connotations that are coined behind this term. However, before we can even get into that fundamental, we need to understand that sanctification is a significant aspect to salvation. And it's a significant aspect to salvation because it qualifies the salvific experience beyond just a religious exception of confessing Jesus as Lord. And of course, I was I'm dialoguing about a minister in this conversation about this, and we had a conversation about the comparison between that. But before I go into this dialogue, I want you to take out your notebooks, or if you don't have a notebook, get a notebook for this particular course. I have been challenged by the word, by the Lord, rather, and by the word of God revealed to me through the Lord Jesus Christ and his understanding unveiled to me to become a diligent doctrinal instructor. And I did not know the magnitude of how much I was not a doctrinal instructor until I began to study doctrine, what doctrine was and what doctrine is about. You'll find out in the coming days that this particular area of ministry is not a comfortable ministry. My ministry is not a comfortable ministry. It's not a ministry that it, affords privilege for people to mishap my wordings when it comes to my deliberation. I cannot take people on a game because I have been devoted to teach his doctrine, the doctrine of Lord Jesus, and as a result, it has prompted and provoked me to come up with a very consistent method of and manner of operation in which we will go. Now, the point structure is going to go rather similarly in the coming days, and I want you to understand this. Now, the whole format of this program has changed. It's going to be on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 12 p.m. It's going to be a systematic study on doctrinal truths on the Word of God for ministers. It's not intended for new believers. New believers are always welcome to listen to this broadcast because we do not limit our audience. However, it will be addressed in the manner for ministers to converse and to dialogue and to glean from understanding. I will go vastly through the scriptures. I will not hesitate to continue to go throughout the scriptures, but I will not overemphasize things that can be merely read on your own time. I will refer to you to essential doctrines that you should study, and I think it's important that as we begin to study God's word pertaining the things of God, that we have things in place. You're going to find that even the suggestions that I have are going to be known in scripture, and I think it's going to be quite beneficial as the new direction. So our new direction is on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We're going to give some in-depth study and dialogue on the Word of God from 10 p.m. to 12 p.m. It'll be a consistent of four lessons a week, and we are going to infuse the system that we have been given an opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ for ministers' sake, to give as much information as we can to benefit those who proclaim the word of the Lord and make sure that it's backed up by the word of God as final authority. You're going to find that I believe that the word of God should be final authority in every body's life. And as a result of the word of God being final authority, there are divine absolutes that are affirmed by the Spirit of God that affords us the privilege to exist as his sons with confidence, without reservation, because he perfects the things that concerns us. And so in tonight's lesson, this is the revision of the Secrets of Sanctification. I want to study this, and I want to dialogue on this particular matter in a manner to, that ministers will conceive. And I'll go more into this throughout the month. And then, of course, you know we'll resume our series called The Doctrines of Better Promises in the coming week. Well, let's look to the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit for his assistance as I go into this particular teaching. Father, we thank you for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made, and I rejoice and are glad. I give you praise, honor, and glory for your word. And I believe that as a result of your word proclaimed tonight, people's lives will never be the same. I do lean to the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to anoint my vocal cords to speak clearly and give me clear deliberation of thought, continuity of subjectivity as I make known the word of God to your precious people. I do come in agreement with those who are already in the precious, who already proclaim the good news of the gospel of Christ. And I thank you for continuing to strengthen them. And I'll covenant with the Holy Spirit that I will allow the teacher in me to say what only the Holy Spirit would have me to say in these next few moments. And, Father, you alone will get all the praise, honor, and glory for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. It is in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus, that I do pray and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I was talking to a minister, and I found it quite interesting how we got into some of the things that I've emphasized about sanctification. Just reviewing some of the things. Of course, you know, I taught a vacation Bible school in the summer, late July, early August, I believe, early August. And I began to talk to believers about the importance of being sanctified. And sanctification, of course, is a role that only the Holy Spirit can fill. And I had, in order to emphasize sanctification, I felt I needed to make distinctions between salvation and sanctification. As I began to go throughout the program of study and my thought, I matriculated or organized deliberation to kind of distinguish the differences between sanctification and salvation, and I found that there are distinctions. However, those distinctions were the same process, but they were set at certain stages, in different stages. And I think salvation is a term that we have reduced to just an altar appeal. And I must go on record that I don't believe that a traditional altar appeal is enough to qualify one for salvation. Mere coming to an altar, pronouncing a statement does not guarantee a state. It just shows that you're at a level of vulnerability and that there needs to be correction and order needs to take place. To try to identify whether or not that order has taken place at that point, we do not know. Therefore, if we don't know, then we cannot be assured that that person has achieved that state. Salvation has to be qualified by the embracing of the realities of what has been pronounced. And I found in Romans 10, that if, verse 9, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, God hath raised them from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all and unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, of course, you know, shall is a definite affirmative, and it is key that we recognize what the scripture says back in verse 9, that if thou confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. does not mean thou art saved. Shall be indicates that is the direction in which you're going, but it doesn't mean that you achieve that destination. And because of the fact there are many people who believe they achieve that destination of salvation, and they really have not. They really have not. And it's a dangerous position to delude a person to think that because they go to an altar and they make that declaration that they have guaranteed themselves eternal life without embracing the principles of what they declare. It's not only in the declaration, but it's in the manifestation of what has been declared that one experiences the true quality of salvation. And in the quality of salvation, the fruit of salvation is sanctification. That has to be understood, and it is not understood, and that is why we have many people who believe that they are saved when they perhaps may have never achieved salvation. It's a very serious matter, but I think it's very important that we understand that. Confession is made unto. It didn't say confession is salvation. So the secret of sanctification is that sanctification reveals the glory of salvation. It's a heavy way to introduce this new era, but we need to go forth in the things of God, and we need to stop diluting people's imaginations when it comes, because all of God's ways are just. And it's not just to deceive people with cunning devices. Everyone who embraced the Lord Jesus took upon the nature of his cross. We have not depicted salvation in a rightful position. And as a result, we have distorted Christianity perspectives prevailing in the Christian church. That has to change. And that's why the Lord began to deal with me on sanctification. Sanctification is a qualifying factor of salvation. It is not a different system. It's the same system, but it is the fruit of the system that as a result of you establishing a life whereby which Jesus is Lord, your life then becomes identified with him. And in that identification, you lose selfishness and you gain selflessness. And through gaining selflessness, spirituality is achieved, and sanctification is manifested. And people do not believe this. And that's why you can see someone who professed Jesus with words, and Jesus said, "Do away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." These were people who cast out demons in his name. Perhaps we have the process distorted, and it needs to be corrected. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about when I deal with the secrets of sanctification, that salvation, that the fruit of our salvation is sanctification. That as a result of us understanding, comprehending our salvation, then there is a fruit, and one of the initial fruits is that we have sanctified the Lord God in our heart, that we are always ready to give God give others the hope that lies within us, an answer because of the hope that lies within us. What is that hope? That hope is Jesus Christ realized in our lives, that the Lordship of the Lord Jesus has taken place and we have become one with it. Not just by mere confession, but by a manifestation of God's Spirit that has totally transformed us and translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, but into the kingdom of His dear Son. You cannot tell me these people are saved and they go back and they act like the devil. Because sweet and bitter water cannot come out the same fountain. We have counterfeit salvation out there prevailing amongst churches that at mere confession that they have accepted the package of salvation, it is not so. They have activated the process, but they have not completed the state. And in understanding in this discovery of sanctification, I found out that it is important that we understand this process as ministers to let people know whether you cry on an altar or come to an altar or not is irrelevant. You must embrace the principles of the Lord Jesus and understand and know for yourself. So that way this experience that's supposed to happen is not just an emotional release, but it's a definite state and a definite statement that you are identified with Christ. Jesus was not looking for people to just merely come up with a creed of salvation. Jesus was looking for people who would embody the concept that he came for. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, not just confess him, but believe in him. And all beliefs produce manifestation. Shall be saved. And that salvation experience takes us to sanctification. We must examine the foundation, because if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? But righteousness is almost obscure in the lives of people today because there is no sound doctrine going forth in the lives of people, and people are thinking that because they say some little statement that their salvation is complete. No, it is not complete until you embrace all the concepts of the Lord Jesus. I should not have to deal with your character when you're saved, when you've allowed the Lordship of Jesus to have his rightful place in your life. If you have not allowed him to have his rightful place, he is not your Lord. He is not your Savior. He becomes an idealist in your mind. He's a figment of your theory. And you're wasting your time. Lord, teach us the number our days and apply our heart unto wisdom, the scripture says. We need an awakening in the church concerning salvation. We need an awakening in the church concerning our doctrine. We need to make sure that the Bible in which the scripture was written as men were moved by the Holy Ghost is being conveyed in the messages that we proclaim on a Sunday, on a Sunday morning. And stop crafting the consciousness of trickery and manipulation and learn what thus saith the Lord. To them that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. The purpose of the sequence of sanctification is to process its purpose and develop communication that will promote the blessings and the privileges of our great salvation. I cannot distinguish the process because it's a common achievement, oneness with God. By God, we cannot even go at it with the strength if all of us are saying so many different things. There's no unity among the believers. Salvation should be universal. The language of salvation should be universal. And in that process, sanctification, redemption, justification, purification, restoration. All of those things should have a part. And there should be a commonality among our conversations as ministers that these things are pertinent to experiencing God's life on earth as it is in heaven. Salvation is given by God to restore mankind to their rightful place, which establishes their righteousness by Jesus Christ. To have fellowship with God as a means of to be adopted in the family of God. It is given by the Lord Jesus by the means of the Holy Ghost to know who God is and the knowledge to maintain his righteousness with the power over sin to exist in his love. It reveals the power of God's grace to extend his love toward the world so they would know why Jesus did what he did as redemption, and so that the errors of the world's development could be only resolved and restored by establishing Jesus Christ as the basis of belief. I made a distinction in my original notes, but if I read them all together, they said the same message. This is the work of God. Salvation positions us to establish a foundation for our belief system and promotes the potential to furtherance of building a relationship with God. Salvation positions the believer to the needed guidance given to the Holy Spirit to manifest the means to exist as the intentions of God. Salvation teaches the world the reliance of God's grace, which provokes repentance and compliance to the faithfulness of his love. Salvation teaches the believers to rely on the Holy Spirit of God to establish our hope, faith, and love, to know how to exist on the grounds of godliness, true godliness. It's the same process. Sanctification emphasizes the glory of salvation. And even in my deliberation, fleshly mindsets want to distinguish and to distort something that's pure. We have one word, one faith, one baptism. There's a oneness that God is trying to achieve. And we will never get to those conclusions by intellectually deciphering things that have nothing to do with the pluralism of the gospel. There must be unity in our theology. There must be unity in our thinking. There must be unity. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit work as one entity. Why? The Godhead exists to show us our union is essential to our survival. And our distortions have caused more division over irrelevant, erroneous theology that has nothing to do with God's intention to save the world. Yes, sure, as a minister, I can go through the deliberations of how to set principles as to how to convey with confidence foundational truths to have people to comply or to obey under your governance. But you're not the goal. God is the goal. God is the goal. Oneness with God is the goal of salvation. So salvation shows us one example, not three. He shows us Jesus. The Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. The Father says, trust the one in whom I've sent. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more acquainted you are with the Spirit, the more acquainted you are with his Father. Let's not get twisted in our message. Sure, I would love to tell ignorant preachers who tried to make Jesus God the Father. I would love to tell them how ignorant they are because they don't believe what is written So Lord knows God is not going to convey to them what needs to be perceived by the Spirit. They're only going to trust the words in which were scribed by the Spirit, whom he sent to reveal to us things that require no private interpretation. I would love to talk about that. But my just telling you an idiot does you no good if the common ground doesn't resolve to you going back to Jesus, whom he sent to redeem man from sin and to restore them to righteousness. Sanctification is a process that is essential. I go to many different worship experiences, and the emphasis and the little trifling games that we play called altar calls do not convey the essence of the transforming power that comes as a result of salvation. I don't care about a person crying and being convicted that they are a sinner. In this flesh, there is no good thing. That does absolutely nothing to the person. It does not prepare them for eternity. They need to know their God. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. His word is essential. We emphasize the power of understanding his word. How can they hear the word? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can they hear without a preacher? How dare we preach another gospel than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus said himself, it is not his gospel, but the one who sent him. How dare we try to modify it? And that's why there's not no true salvation. Occurred. So how could I unwrap the secrets of sanctification to people who are not secure in their salvation? Your crying did not get you saved. Your hearing a little good message and reacting to that message and running at an altar emotionally did not change your life. It was a decision to comply with God's word, decreed word, which he established before the foundations of the world, that was manifested through the Lord Jesus Christ's life on earth. And as a result of him ascending into heaven, he gave up the right to accept him as Lord and Savior so he can make us one with the Father and we can have eternal life without him. It was not an emotional state. It was a choice to comply to what has already been in evidence. Obedience to standards. It makes my message a whole lot easier to preach. It makes my message a lot easier to preach. I wouldn't have to tell people about the qualities of sanctification if they truly understood their salvation. But what I find is people don't understand. If people are not destroyed because of a lack of spirit, they're not destroyed because of a lack of power. They're destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And because they reject knowledge, God rejects their children. It's synthesized through generation to generation, and they're damned to doom because people refuse to read the book. And if the preacher doesn't read the Bible and learn it and know it, what in the world does the pew have to hang on? The Bible says, like priests, like people. Preachers want to get on the condition of the world, blame yourself. You're guilty as charged. Your lack of knowledge, your rejection of knowledge, your rejection of God's power and God's presence, your refusal to study your Bible, your right to bend that heaven here and let them hear what the Spirit said to the church. These things are essential to be understood. Restoration, the result of believing and understanding the doctrine of salvation. Justification, the result of knowing who they are because of Jesus Christ and why they have a right to approach God. Predestination, the result to know that they have been justified by God and that He has plans for them that only He and them can achieve. Purification, the result, to resolve, to make a decision to live as a known, as obtaining a knowledge pertaining to the things of God, and reconciliation. Reconciliation then can occur because they work through restoration, justification, predestination, and purification. Sanctification is just a lot. Just is not just about just wearing a certain thing, looking a certain way, but it's about being available for God, available for the Master's use, compliant through obedience, we have taught this wrong. And instead of going after their heart or their mindset, we have made this superficial. Don't wear this. Don't wear that. Don't show this. Don't show that. Fleshly. External condition. A simplified gospel. Find myself when I talk to preachers at the same place when Jesus presented communion to his disciples. And when he began to talk about, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. Shall you like these go? Have you embraced salvation, or is it a mere confession? Many people confess guilt. Few answer for it. The church has played long enough. You'll find when sanctification occurs in a person's life, progressively you'll see those phases happen in regimen. You'll often see them in restoration, justification, purification, predestination, and reconciliation. You'll see that occur in their life. You'll see them constantly refine their character. It's just the godly thing to do. And there are other identity factors that happen. Mainly spirituality. They become spiritual. They endeavor more to be one with God and to please God than the devil. And then people become less acquainted with the facets and the fashions of this world. They just try to do things because God said, I should do this. They have a definite state. For God I live, or for God I die. Somebody say, well, preacher, why are you preaching to the choir? Because sometimes the choir needs to know that they should be singing. Singing in the spirit. Singing and soaring in the spirit. My God, if the church was spiritual, the church would grow. I've seen everything else but the emphasis of the Spirit. It is the Spirit that identified the church that should be added as such should be saved. If the Spirit did not come in the room, if it didn't come in the atmosphere, that would have been a waste of time and it would have still been tarrying to this day till the promise be fulfilled. And we have access to this same self-fulfilling Spirit in whom all the world is upheld by the glory of His power, sent and relegated by the Holy Spirit, by God, to govern our affairs internally and externally. And we give Him no credit and no time and no opportunity to show up in our quote-unquote services, as if God requires service. A sacrifice I once offered. Once is no longer offered. It's no longer necessary. God is not looking for service. He's looking for worship. And there is a difference. Scholastics. God is not stupid. We have an intelligent God. Scholastics. Why is it that it don't make sense? It should make sense. He's the creator of sense. My ways are not your ways, neither my thoughts are your thoughts. As far as the heavens are from there, so are my ways from your ways. Come up and let us reason together. Learn how to think. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be one with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of that. But he humbled himself and made himself even obedient to death on the cross. Therefore, God so highly exalted him. What are you waiting for? Scholastics. That's learning. That's knowledge. Obedience, solutions. Oh, would the church have solutions? Solutions that cannot fail. And then when we are solution-oriented, we can have standards, unshakable foundations because of our character. And to God, what would we achieve sacredness? Where we would learn that we are a peculiar people. We are a holy nation. We have been called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. I depend on God to grant your ears to hear the secrets of sanctification. It's an essential manifestation of the glory that is locked in the quality of salvation in which the Bible defines. Let's get it right. Let's start with the preacher. Before we talk to the pews. This is LaVon Vreeland, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, host of USWAD Radio, reminding you that Jesus is the Lord. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is He that lives within you than he that lives within the world. God bless you and good night.